Salam, dear listeners. On this bright and sunny Thursday, you have tuned in to Radio Sai's Asia Stream Thursday Live, and right now we are beginning the segment Thursday Satsang, the afternoon satsang, of which I am a privileged, and it is my pleasure to be a part of, along with Brother Prem. This is Arvind from Team Radio Sai, and on behalf of all of us who are participating in this beautiful satsang, I offer my most humble pranams at the lotus feet of our dear Swami, who is an integral part of every satsang. And this satsang today is on a very interesting topic, a topic that is interesting because it is universal in its, shall I say, application and in its prevalence. The topic today is fear and fearlessness. It is universal because I'm sure that there's not a single one amongst us who can say confidently that I have no fear. And at the same time, I'm sure that there's not a single one amongst us who can say that I do not wish to be fearless. Well, this sentence, this statement that I make, I'm making excepting those few realized souls, those few Atmagyanis who definitely will not know what is fear, for they have nothing to fear. But for the rest of us, here is this afternoon satsang. Sairam Prem, it's a pleasure to have you once again like any other week.
Sairam Arvind, and I hope there is no fear between us. You're not scared of me and I'm not scared of you. No, even as you said that fearlessness, fear is universal. I think we need to acknowledge that even fearlessness is universal, because as much as we fear some things, we all have a kind of gutless, you know, gut feeling, which is fearlessness. Sometimes we just follow our instincts, do some things which you are scared of, I'm not scared of, and some things which I'm terrified about, I'm sure you're not, it's very easy for you to do.
So yeah, I can totally relate with that. You know, I have a little sister who is mortally scared of cockroaches. You know, a cockroach in her room, and she will just dread it. But for me, it's nothing. It's just so simple. You just take a cloth, put it on it, wrap it around it, and just throw it out, and it's gone. So, totally appreciate what you say about somebody's mortal fears being nothing but a joyous thing for the other person.
And I think the basis of that fearlessness is the same points we're going to discuss. But to implement those which make you fearless in some situations, take those very theories and put it in the situations where you are scared of, where you have fears, and try to make this fearlessness universal. I think that's the endeavor which we all are at, right?
Exactly. You know, another way I think that fear is so universal is from what I have observed, or what all of us would have observed at Puttaparthi Prashanthaniliyam. You know, when Bhagwan comes for darshan, what is the most sought after thing that any devotee would like? Definitely, I think on many people's list, the topmost thing would be an interview with Swami, because darshan itself is so elevating, so uplifting. A few words if Swami speaks during darshan is so fantastic. And then if it's an interview, wow, nothing to beat it. And that's why all of us used to crave for an interview with Swami. But then if you're not able to get an interview, what I think would be the next best thing is possibly a few words with Swami and a Pad Namaskar. I didn't get an interview, but you know, this trip I got a Pad Namaskar. Recently I was also speaking to one gentleman. You know, he recently got in touch with me, having read a few articles and blogs, and he said that he had come to Swami almost 12 years back, and after that he has never seen Swami. That was the only time he has physically seen Swami. And he was so thrilled. He said that time he narrated the exact location where he was sitting in the hall and how he got a front line, and it's a long story. But cutting to the chase, what happened was, when Swami came for darshan, Swami came, looked at him, just stood there, and he dived at Swami's feet and touched Swami's feet. And he says, even to this day, you know, I get such a surge of joy as I relive that moment, and oh my God, how blessed I am that though I knew nothing, Swami gave me the most coveted Pada Namaskar. So, you know, Pada Namaskar is something that is considered as a great privilege, as a great chance. And I'm sure that even if a person is disappointed at not getting an interview, a Pada Namaskar more or less makes up for it. And so a Pada Namaskar possibly ranks second. What about those who don't even get a Pada Namaskar, who are sitting far behind? And this was a feature that I observed, especially during the days when Swami would come for darshan on the, you know, the wheel sofa. On the wheel sofa, as Swami is being wheeled around the Kulwant hall, Swami's height gets reduced by about 2-3 feet compared to when he used to stand and walk. So many people from the back, they rise up, they want to see Swami. At the same time, they can't rise up for a long time. You know, because as they rise up, the people behind try to tell them to come down because they are not able to have darshan. And when this happens, it is so important to time your getting up, you know, sitting in the 10th line or the 15th line or even the 50th line. The point in time when you have to get up so that you can catch a glimpse of that lovable, beautiful frame, figure in orange. So you have to time it and get up. And some of those days, you know, Swami in between, apparently randomly, would raise his hand in Abhaya Hasta.
Mm-hmm.
He would raise his right hand and bless. And during those wheel sofa days, when Swami would raise his hand to bless, inevitably, there would be an applause, you know. People would get so thrilled and charged and they would begin to clap. It was so natural that it never made a kind of impression or anything like, oh, why are people clapping or anything like that. But today, when you look back, it is because there is something very special when Swami raises his hand in Abhaya Hasta. The minute he raises it, it's almost as if the entire section of the audience and the crowd sitting in front of him feels that there is some special blessing that is flowing towards me. And that is one more ability of the Lord, omnifelicity, where multiple people at the same time feel that the blessing is coming towards me and they clap in joy. So I think that people who used to sit behind, very back, whenever I am sitting very back, if I'm not able to, you know, touch physically Swami, at that time, if Swami looks towards my direction and raises his hand in Abhayasta, that would be the next sought after thing. I'm not able to get an interview, I'm not able to touch him, but if Swami gave an Abhayasta, I would go back feeling very blessed and very thrilled. So, why I told the whole thing is, an Abhayahasta is so magical. That is the reason why people may not clap when Swami is coming for darshan, but the minute he raises his hand, people clap. Because they feel it is something special, something thrilling. And Abhaya Hasta has something, not something, has everything to do with bhaya or fear. Abhaya Hasta means the hand or palm that dissolves fear and confers abhaya, which is fearlessness. I feel this is another universal aspect of fear, because here is an entire audience which, without any exception, cheers when they are granted abhaya or fearlessness.
And I think any devotee who would have come to Swami, the first three quotes, if you ask them, of Swami, which was very popularly known to them or which they came to know of, I think they will be, one is love all serve all, which is very universal.
Help ever hurt help never.
Help ever hurt never. I think the third one, or this could even be the first in that list, is why fear when I am here.
Mm.
Because that is what, if you say two things which we come for Swami, one is we love Swami, the other thing is we fear our life, you know, we fear for our life. There are so many things, so many insecurities, we go through life. So we see in Swami an ability to give us that abhaya. They're saying that, you know, I will take care of you, I will protect you. Why should you fear when I'm here? And I think that is also one of the famous quotes from Shirdi Baba's life, where he would say, you don't have to fear, I will take care of you. So definitely, I think, whether we voice it or not, fearlessness is something which we seek from Swami.
Exactly. And you know, I have seen this quote being changed by different speakers in different poetic styles in order to feel more closer to Swami. For example, why fear when I am here has been modified into why fear when I am near. You know, so you feel that there is a need to come to Prashantanilayam, there is a need to come to Puttaparthi and see Swami, because when Swami is near, there is nothing to fear. And then, at the same time, there are those who are unable to make the journey, travel all the way and come to Puttaparthi. For them, you know, the quote changes into, why fear when I am dear? I mean, it doesn't, nearness does not matter. Swami has himself said it, Nearness does not matter, it is dearness, being close to the Lord in the true sense that matters more. And so, these people who are unable to make this trip and come to Prashanthi Nilayam, they think to themselves, why fear when He is dear? So, why fear when I am here becomes why fear when I am near, why fear when I am dear. Different changes, but all the changes happen in the second part of the statement. The why fear part remains the same, which means it is definitely a universal boon that anybody seeks. The boon of fearlessness.
And I think whenever you talk of fear, as you said, it's called bhayam in Sanskrit and all the Indian languages. There's a very beautiful poem which Swami Chand recites about fear, saying that how universal fear is.
Speaking about universality of fear, Prem, you just have to, Google it. Just search for it on the internet. And it will throw up hundreds of things. You just find out the top 10 fears. And prominent among these fears of all the people, I think it will be fear of public speaking, fear of heights, fear of creeping and crawling creatures, fear of snakes, fear of dog bites.
Fear of darkness.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think fear of disease, fear of pain, fear of neglect, fear of losing somebody.
Fear of being lonely.
Right, fear of being... put away by somebody, being rejected by somebody.
So depending upon the people who have done the survey, these results throw up and you have the top 10 fears, the top 20 fears. And it is natural that today one of the most thriving and prolific businesses in the world is insurance. Because insurance apparently promises to banish all your fears. And therefore, starting off from life insurance, we have got medical insurance, we have got dental insurance, we have got insurance for cars, we have got almost insurance for everything. In fact, this is another thing you should do, Prem. Just Google and see for the most bizarre or crazy instances of insurance. There have been people who have insured more than millions of dollars against being kidnapped by aliens. Can you believe that? I mean, if you're kidnapped by an alien, how can you ever come back and claim insurance? But it shows how universal and how diverse the fears are, and therefore universal and diverse insurances.
Right.
And everywhere it's
reading,
about insurance.
I remember reading a very weird story of insurance. There was a piano player who was known for his swiftness in playing the piano. He was supposed to be one of the fastest. So he had insured his fingers for a few million dollars.
Okay.
Because that's the source of his business.
Exactly. So anything that today we see, anything and everything thing is insured. And
talking of insurance and talking of why insurance companies come and capitalize on it, it's because in general I think we're having that fear of the unknown. There's something which we don't know what is going to happen a few years down the line. As Swami would say, you're alive today, you don't know whether you'll wake up alive. Those things, they're trying to reduce the number of unknowns in your life, address the number of unknowns in your life.
But I think, Prem, that is never-ending quest. As you solve a few unknowns, many more unknowns come. There is no way you can be insured against everything.
And there are a lot of unknowns even in insurance. Because if you would see an insurance ad, there will be one line which is read out 10 times faster than the rest of the ad.
Yes, just like any mutual fund ad.
Right.
Yes, the fine
have to
print.
Read the offer documents before and all that. Because that is what they say. Even they do not give you that complete insurance. It is only if there are 100 unknowns, we give you 10 unknowns are insured.
And it is subject to so many ifs and buts.
Right.
And in fact, what I was reading recently was that, when the US President Obama decided to bring in this Obamacare,
right,
most of it is about reducing these kind of, fine print details, which makes a person lose insurance in spite of paying for most part of the life. So that has been heavily contested against, which is surprising because it affects profitability, it brings in greed into the question. But all that apart, it just shows how complicated insurance is, which also indirectly shows how complicated fear is. I think this is the time when we should definitely play the beautiful play of words that Swami does on bhayam, on fear, saying how man is afraid of everything today.
Wherever you turn this world, you come across fear. Be you in the house, you are charged with fear. Go to the road, you are charged.
Rail ekna bhai me, bus ekna bhai me.
Both the rail or bus, you are charged with fear.
Rail ekna bhai me, padav ekna bhai me.
Go to a board of plane, you are haunted by fear.
Ye lo narchi pota bante kudanu bhai me.
Even if you want to walk up, you are haunted by fear.
Vantari ga inti lo undadani kudanu bhai me.
Even to be alone at home, you are haunted
by fear.
What is the cause for this kind of
manavani endu undavalsinatundi yokka pavithramaina sankalpamulu nirmoolamainayi?
The reason is the such sacred thoughts which should be there in a man are absent.
లోకమంతా కూడా భయమయంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ ఫియర్.
భయం భయం బ్రతుకు భయం 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 బ్రతుకు భయం అన్నా మనకి లోకం పన్నిన పద్మ వ్యూహము. ఇదంతా కూడా ఒక పద్మ వ్యూహంగా భయం చేయండి.
This entire world has become something like a Padma Vyuha.
Indulo bhayamto kodi untunnadi.
It is full of fear.
Padma Vyuham yokka rahasyam emiti?
What is the secret of this Padma Vyuha?
Praveshinchadam maatrame teliyadu kani tirigi enaku tirigi vacheyatundi maatram teliyadu.
See, the speciality is you know how to enter into this Padma Vyuha, but you do not know how to come out of it.
Abhimanyu nadu.
You are like Abhimanyu.
ఈనాడు అందరూ అభిమన్యులే.
టుడే ఆల్ ఆర్ అభిమన్యుస్.
పేరు అభిమన్యులే కానీ ప్రవర్తన భిన్నులు.
The name is అభిమన్యు, but their behavior is different.
ఈనాడు ప్రపంచంలో మనం భోగ భాగ్యముల నిమిత్తమై ప్రవేశించడం మాత్రమే తెలియదు కానీ అందు నుంచి తప్పించుకుని వచ్చేటువంటిది మాత్రం తెలుసుకోవడం ప్రయత్నించడం లేదు.
Today we know how to enter into the world of enjoyments and indulgence, but we really do not know how to come out of it.
ఈ లౌకిక భోగ భాగ్యములు దుఃఖము నుండి ఆవిర్భవించినటువంటివి అనేటువంటి దీని ఆదిని మనం గుర్తించుకోలేకపోతున్నాం.
We have not been able to realize that all these worldly pleasures and joys have come and emerged from sorrow.
కనుక సంకల్పములను సరైనటువంటిగా విచారణ జరిపి బుద్ధికి అప్పచెప్పినప్పుడే ఇవి సరైన బుద్ధి యొక్క సమాధానం లభ్యమవుతాయి.
వెన్ యువర్ థాట్స్ ఆర్ హ్యాండెడ్ ఓవర్ టు ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ టు ఎన్క్వైర్ అండ్ యాక్సెప్ట్, దెన్ ఓన్లీ యు ఆర్ సేఫ్.
That Swami's discourse, and it kind of comprehensively covers all the fears, because Swami is saying that traveling is a fear, going out into the road is a fear,
sitting alone at home is a fear,
sitting alone at home is a fear.
And so sweetly Swami sings that, I think Prem, that that song that Swami sang is from a 1953 Telugu movie.
Right. Yeah, that also speaks so much about the kind of songs those days movies used to have, because they were so deep in their meaning.
And blessed indeed is that movie for Swami chose to, you know, quote a song from that.
Right.
It's so beautiful. One point that Swami made there, you know, is so poignant. Swami says that the problem why we have fear today is because the whole world is like a chakra vyuha or a padma vyuha. That's what padma vyuha is, a word that derives from the Mahabharata, the great text Mahabharata, where padma stands for lotus and vyuha is an army formation. The lotus formation was supposed to be impenetrable.
Right.
And if I think we should take this little detour so that all our listeners are on the same page, so that all of us participating in the satsang can be on the same page. And the story goes that very few people knew how to penetrate the Padma Vyuha. And since Abhimanyu, as a fetus, had heard his father Arjuna talking to his pregnant mother Subhadra about how to, you know, penetrate the formation.
Right.
The story goes that he heard the whole thing, but before Arjuna could actually talk about how one should get out of the Padma Vyuha, Subhadra feels sleepy and she sleeps off. So Arjuna stops the narrative there. Now, because of this, Abhimanyu, the child that is born, knows how to get into the Padma Vyuha but not get out. And ultimately, this becomes the cause of death for Abhimanyu, because on a day of the battle of the Mahabharata, when his father Arjuna is not around, there's nobody who can penetrate the Padma Vyuha that Drona has set up, Acharya Drona. So Abhimanyu launches on an attack and breaks open the Padma Vyuha, gets in, but because he has not heard on how to get out, he is unable to get out and he perishes. And Swami so beautifully says that in this world is like a chakravyuha and all of us are like Abhimanyu. We have fears because we know how to get in, but we don't know how to get out. And that is the cause for fear. It is only when we know how to get out along with how to get in, then can we live without fear. Wow, what a beautiful and what a powerful message that is. We can actually stop our entire satsang and just mull over this one sentence.
Right, exactly. Because everything else Swami says, you know, whenever Swami speaks about money and Swami speaks about desire, Swami never says that it is bad. Swami never says it is wrong to, you know, the often thing which Swami says is dharma artha kama moksha. He said everything has its place. But the problem is you get entangled. You know, you know how to catch it, but you don't know how to let go. And even when Swami speaks about the varna system, not varna system, sorry, the brahmacharya and
Varnashrama.
That time Swami says that, you know, you should know when your grihastha gets over. You should know when to let go. The problem today is we know when it starts, but we don't know when it ends. And that letting go process is the most difficult. And so beautifully put by Swami that we know how to get into this Padma Vyuha, but we are all lost after that.
And I feel that is also what can be called as the unknown. You know, we have so many fears of the unknown, whether it is, you know, death, whether it is disease, whether it is darkness. See, I remember it is there even in Loving God during the early part of the 20th century, you know, when smallpox was not yet eradicated from the world, it was such a scary thought. And, you know, people who got smallpox, this is what happened to Kasturi's father, Professor Kasturi's father, that once they contracted smallpox, they were kept isolated from the rest of society, away from everybody, and only, and you know, they had given actually a term for it. It was called as Mutyalamma's pearls.
Okay.
Mutyalamma or whatever is a local deity, and these were called as her pearls. It was a way of indicating that you have done something to displease the goddess, and therefore this has been cast on you. You know, the pearls or the smallpox bubos. So unless you are a person who had contracted, who had been, you know, in quotes, blessed with these pearls and came out alive from it, you would not be allowed to go near the patient who is now having that. And it is unconsciously they had got this practice, you know, because once you have this disease, you are actually immune to the disease.
Right.
You have overcome it. So, I mean, that is the logic behind vaccination too. So, till that smallpox got eradicated, it was a cause for such a fear. And it could get eradicated only because the scientists were able to delve into the cause for smallpox. And then, having discovered the cause for smallpox, they were able to even discover, that's Edward Jenner, he was able to discover a vaccine, and finally, because of that, smallpox was eradicated from the world. So you see, knowledge is a very powerful way to combat fear. Once there is knowledge, fear runs away. Where there is light, knowledge, I mean, where there is light, there is no darkness. So in the same way, where there is knowledge, there is no fear. So, this statement, you know, the fear of the unknown is actually in contrast to the often quoted statement that ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is also very scary and fearful, and the minute ignorance is dispelled with wisdom and with knowledge, fear is gone and fearlessness comes in. So I think this is one important aspect of fear where fear unknown.
Even when we speak about ignorance is bliss, in fact Swami says that, you know. Those who will be fearless and in bliss will be those who are absolutely ignorant or those who are completely wise. The problem is only in half knowledge. Because if you're not sure, like a child goes to fire without fear because it doesn't know the nature of fire. But those who know the nature of fire and don't know how to control it or don't know how to keep themselves safe, those are the ones who actually will be a little bit of apprehensive about fire.
Correct.
In fact, that has been what has defined civilization also, right? You know, the early prehistoric man was scared of fire. But the moment he knew that he could create fire, he could put off fire, and he could manipulate fire, that's when actually he started to learn.
Exactly. So, yeah, but you know, in this analogy, if we take it that the child is fearless, I I would personally not prefer to have that kind of fearlessness.
Right, it is an absurd fear, right?
Yes.
That fearlessness which comes out of ignorance is very dangerous. That's what
very dangerous. Yeah. So, though it makes you fearless, I am sure that when we seek abhaya, that is not the kind of fearlessness that we seek.
Ignorance is bliss is told in a negative connotation. At least I feel it's not encouraged to have fearlessness which is born out of ignorance.
You know, this fear of the unknown, I think it haunts everybody at different stages in life. Only thing is the fears may be different, and as you get to know it, you feel better. I remember, you know, when I was, I planned to learn driving, mm-hmm. car driving, and I learned how to drive a car. And when I learned how to drive a car, I'm narrating this anecdote because it shows how universal this fear is, a fear of the unknown.
Okay.
And at the same time, it also gives a possible solution how to practically overcome this fear of the unknown. So, what happened is, when I was learning, I learned it from a driving school, and then I had to go and give my exam for the license. I could do it comfortably, I got my license. And then the problem started. You know, came back home, and my parents, they said, let's go now, you know, we have got a car, we have got a person who knows to drive the car, so that's it, let's go for a drive. I was so nervous. And I was wondering, why am I nervous? I am a licensed driver. I know how to drive. Yet I am so scared. You know, as I am driving, I went extra slow. The way I went over the road humps, it was so slow. And the minute if I see any oncoming traffic, I just stop in the side. I was quite nervous. And it took me a few days. As I got to know the roads, as I got to know the things, I became confident. And that fear was gone. But you know what, after that when I came back to continue with my college at Swami's college in Prashanthi Nilayam, 1 year later I go back, again that fear is there. You know, till that fear existed for almost 3-4 years, where it would take me, because I would go home for only about a month a year, in a year only for a month, and every month it would be like as if I am fresh out of driving school. It took me almost years to get fully familiar with driving and lose that fear completely. So, it is so important, you know, one thing is, when the knowledge comes also, it has to get immediately solidified. You know, if you drive continuously for 9 months, you lose fear. You drive for a few weeks, just as you are on the verge of getting confidence, you are again cut off, you again come back, it's no use. And now, you know, when I was thinking now as to why was I not having this fear, when I would go to for my driving lessons,
mm-hmm.
I realized that the reason I did not have the fear was right next to me in the front seat was my coach, who had at his feet a complete set of the brake and clutch, you know.
Those are the specially modified cars they used to have.
So that I know that even if I make a mistake, I need not worry, there is this guy to take care of. So I am totally free of fear. You know, in fact, many days, especially towards the end of my course, days would pass where he would not do anything at all, just be there by my side. But that was enough. And I realized the minute he went missing, fear came back and I started to make a few mistakes. So, fear of the unknown can be overcome only by knowing, or by knowing a person who knows. That is what I felt is a beautiful remedy for this, because I knew this coach from the driving school, who I was 100% certain knows the in and out, the A to Z of driving, and I need not worry, because even if I make a mistake, he will correct my mistake. Now, once I have that faith in him, I am brave, I can drive anywhere, I was ready, on the slopes, in the crowded roads, anywhere, because I know a person who knows. I feel this is a beautiful hint towards how we can overcome our fear of the unknown.
You know, this very analogy which you gave about the driving lessons, it has a lot of other aspects about fear, even if you take this analogy. See, one thing is when we start driving, I remember when I started going for driving lessons, it would always be in the early hours of the day, when there's least traffic on the road and you can comfortably drive. But the idea of doing that lessons is so that one day you can go onto a road which is filled with traffic.
Correct.
And that's exactly what Swami does with us. You know, most of us, when we are scared of something, we try to overlook that fear or turn away from that fear. You know, when we are studying, if there are some subjects which we are bad at, we would see when is the closest opportunity we can choose our subjects in such a way that we can leave out those subjects. You know, we always in life take situations which will, you know, keep us out of that fear. Even insurance, what we thought of, it's a fear of unknown. So we try to make as many variables as possible constants, you know, in the process. But we are not facing the fear. We are only trying to handle the situation. But when we talk about that driving school lesson which you gave, all that preparation is for that one day you will face that fear and make that fear a no-fear situation. And that's exactly what Swami does with us, because Swami, you know, that very famous quote which Swami says, face the devil. You know, follow the master, face the devil, fight till the end, finish the game. He says, face the devil. If you have a fear, you have to face it. And you have to decimate it by facing it.
When you mentioned this, face the devil, I was reminded of an episode from Swami Vivekananda's life. It's not exactly face the devil,
okay,
it is face the monkey. You know, when he was a child, Naren, he writes that one day when he was walking, he suddenly came across a group of monkeys, and you know, it was monkey and him face to face. You know, here let me take another little detour. Let me tell you how it happens when you come face to face with a monkey. You remember there was that little bridge across the drainage in Vrindavan hostel to cross from the hostel region to the grounds.
Right.
There was this overhead bridge they made so that there was a big drainage that was going by, and there was no way you could cross over without exiting the campus.
Right.
So in order to ensure that campus to campus is connected, there was a bridge that was made. So one day I was returning, running from the ground towards the hostel, and I climbed up that bridge in full speed, and then, you know what? I came face to face with a monkey that was rushing up the bridge from the other side, from the hostel towards the ground side. And we were in such tearing hurry that suddenly on top of the bridge was only about, if you remember, about 20 feet long, that's all.
Right.
So very little space, and suddenly I was face to face with a huge monkey. The next minute I was so scared, I just turned around and bolted down the bridge. And then looked behind to see where the monkey was. You know where the monkey was? It was nowhere, because the monkey had turned around and bolted down the bridge on its side, you know. It was like the monkey was as scared of me as I was scared of it. I mean, if only we knew each other better, we needn't have had fear. But well, when Swami Vivekananda as Naren came face to face with a monkey, not a monkey, monkeys. Now that is where I think unity is strength. Rather than both getting scared, it was only Naren who got scared. He got scared of these monkeys, and those monkeys seemed to feed on his fear. The minute he turned around and started walking away, they started walking behind him. And then Naren says that he began to run. And when he began to run, the monkeys began to chase him. It's so perfectly fitting the way in our life also we try to run away from fears, and the more we try to run away from them, the more they chase us. And as Swami Vivekananda was running away, as Naren was running away, he suddenly realized that he can't outpace the monkeys forever, and he has to face them at some point of time or the other. He sees a stick, grabs hold of the stick, turns around, starts moving towards the monkeys with a menacing growl on his face, you know. He says at that minute all the monkeys just stood for a moment, and the next step when he took, he says he didn't even have to swing the stick. The monkeys just turned around and took flight, and he never again was bothered by monkeys. Because all he knew was he had to just face them courageously and they would retreat. So when you say that, you know, it faced the devil, it is perfectly true, because whatever be our fear, not only the fear of the unknown, whatever be our fear, unless we are able to stand up to it and face it, there's no way we'll be overcoming it. So that is really a very, very powerful message.
That's a very important point, because from what you said, it is like when you face the devil, you actually come to know of the devil. You will come to know of the weakness of the devil. Because I remember in school, my teacher in biology, she used to say that most animals, including dogs and some of these wild animals like, the jungle animals, they can smell the adrenaline which is secreted in the human body. That's a hormone which is secreted when you are scared.
Exactly.
So it seems when you're scared, they can smell it and they know that you're scared.
Aha. So this explains why dogs bark at some people but not at others.
Those who just walk on without being bothered about the dog's presence, you know, the dog is not bothered about them. I don't know how far it is true or whether this teacher told us this.
Definitely think it makes sense, because I have seen it, you know. I have been scared of dogs for a very, very long time in my life till I finally overcame it. But I used to notice this happening, you know. My cousin brothers are there who are not scared of dogs. And when we are walking, some of the dog picks on me and you know, I always think, how on earth does that dog know that I am the one who is scared? And you know, my cousin brothers used to tell me, you don't worry. Since it's barking, it shows that it's also scared. Remember, barking dogs don't bite. I used to tell them that I know that dog should know that it is not supposed to bite, right? What if it doesn't know that a barking dog is not supposed to bite? So, I think that definitely is true that they are able to sense the fear.
Right. And the other thing which I understood from that analogy which you said is, you know, Vivekananda was equipped with a stick.
Uh-huh.
So, I think if you know the fear of the opponent and then you equip yourself accordingly, and that hint, once you know that this can be handled, then you can apply it elsewhere.
Exactly. Now I'm reminded of an incident from the life of Field Marshal Manekshaw.
Okay.
You know, Field Marshal, it's a very, very, very prized and high title.
Right.
In fact, I think in the whole of Indian history, only two Indians have ever been made Field Marshal. One is General Kariappa.
Okay.
The other is General Manekshaw, Sam Manekshaw.
Okay.
And you know, from his life, he says, before that, his nickname is Sam Bahadur.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Bahadur means brave.
Okay.
So he was known for his bravery, and you know, legendary stories are there about him. You know, about how he won the Pakistan war, and how he could have won the war even against China had he been in charge. And it's fantastic, you know, his
Wait, before you come to the actual incident, I'm just reminded of a joke which General Mahadevan used to often tell in front of Swami.
Huh?
You know, he would talk of one of the sipais in his in his regiment,
huh,
whose name was Sher Bahadur.
Okay.
And he was such a coward, and every time he would mention that incident pertaining to this person, he would say that man Sher Bahadur, he was neither a Sher nor he was Bahadur.
Sher meaning tiger, Bahadur meaning brave.
Brave. Yeah, please continue. I just remember that and how Swami used to laugh every time he said that.
Said that. When he was given this epithet, Sam Bahadur,
mm-hmm,
you know, Manekshaw made it a point that in any speech that he delivered,
okay,
he would confess and say that I am not a Bahadur.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many fears. I am mortally scared of so many things. Don't think that I am fearless. And there was a reason why he would state this, you know. In fact, his famous quote is, if any person says that he has no fear, either he is lying or he is a Gurkha. You know,
okay,
this statement was also a tribute to the Gurkhas,
right,
of people from Nepal.
One of the most efficient contingents in the Indian army also.
The Gurkha regiment is supposed to be the bravest.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, having commanded that regiment, he said that if anybody says to you that he has no fear, either he is a liar or he is a Gurkha. So because he says that only Gurkhas are possible to have no fear. But he narrated one incident that took place even before India won its independence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was during the Second World War when Indian forces were employed to fight the Japanese,
okay,
who were invading from the northeastern part of the country. So when General Manekshaw's forces were pitted in battle against them, it was a very tough war situation, and there were people dying every day, and you know, leaders for different battalions, contingents had to be created on a daily basis. So now this was one of such promotion times, and during that promotion time there was a discussion on who had to be promoted to different ranks. And there was this certain Surat Singh,
mm-hmm,
that Manekshaw speaks about. The Surat Singh was as notorious as he was famous.
Okay.
He was famous because he was very brave, he was courageous, and you know, he used to do some of the most fantastic things. At the same time, he was notorious because he was very ill-disciplined,
okay,
in spite of all this. And invariably, within a few days of him being promoted to a higher rank, he would be stripped of that higher rank and brought back down. That's what Manekshaw says. And then he says that during that meeting, his name came up, Surat Singh's name came up, and General Manekshaw said that it's not worth to promote him because I don't want to strip him of the same stripes a few days after, because of some indiscipline or something like that. So better not promote him at all. Once this decision was conveyed, in the night, a person comes up to General Manekshaw and says that, sir, there is something terrible that has happened. What is it? Surat Singh has vowed to shoot you dead. Now, this is something that Manekshaw confesses that got him very scared, because Surat Singh is capable of such a thing. But the thing is, in the army, when anything is done like this, there's a court martial, because of which, at that time, the penalty was death. Any person who threatens to kill a superior can be condemned to death in a court martial. And this court martial was being conducted. At that time, you know, Sam Bahadur, that is General Manekshaw, says that he got up, walked up to him.
Okay.
And he said, "You want to shoot me dead? Here, take this loaded gun." He gives him a loaded gun and says, pointing to his chest, "Come on, shoot me. Shoot me, man. Show that you are a man and shoot me now."
Okay.
And Suraj Singh just drops the gun, bends his head down in shame and says, "I'm sorry, sir. It was a mistake that I did." And then he walks away. He doesn't walk away. General Manekshaw gives him one resounding slap.
Oh, okay.
And then says, "There's no need of any court-martial. Go away. That's done." Again, you know, somebody comes and tells him, "Sir, you might have sent him away, but that too, now that he has received this public humiliation, you never know what he will do." Manekshaw says that what he did was a wrong thing. It had to be punished.
Okay.
I didn't want to punish him with death penalty. That's why I just gave him a slap. But then he says, he calls him and tells him, "Suraj Singh, for the next few days, I want you to be my personal bodyguard. There'll be nobody around me but you. You have to get me my water in the morning. You have to get me my coffee in the morning. You know, you have to get me some hot water so that I can have my shave in the morning. You will do everything for me and you will be my trusted aide and my bodyguard." And then Manekshaw confesses that that night, as he slept in the tent, he couldn't get even a wink of sleep, knowing that this Suraj Singh is just outside his tent and he might, you know, do anything anytime. So he says, "I didn't get a wink of sleep because I was ... scared." That's what he says, you know. "I was so scared." And the next morning onwards, he says, "I noticed a change in Suraj Singh. He became one of my most loyal soldiers." And we became very, very close to each other in the sense that out of mutual respect and understanding. And he says, "I won myself a great friend for life." So then he concludes by saying, "It is not as if I don't feel fear. I just realize that fear is not my true nature." And therefore I choose not to show my fear and I keep working on improving so that I face my fear. And that is exactly what, it's not as if Naren was not scared of the monkeys, but he chose to face them. Instead of like me running directly back at full speed. It is not as if General Manekshaw was not scared. He chose to face his fear, and that is how he overcame that fear.
And even as you say this, I'm reminded of what one of the cricket commentators said about Vivian Richards. You know, Vivian Richards, the legendary West Indies player, who is known for his fearless stroke playing, you know. He always used to walk out to the center, to the pitch, without a helmet. Okay, and those were the days when the pace bowlers were actually ruling the roost. You had Imran Khan and all those amazing fast bowlers in Australia and New Zealand. So he would always walk out without a helmet. So one of the commentators walked up to him and said, "Why do you always walk out without a helmet? I mean, are you not scared of the pace? Are you so fearless?" So he said, "Look, there are two things. One thing is it's difficult to find a helmet for my size." That's one thing. And the second thing is, he said, "You have to go and show the people that you're not scared of them." He said, "When that pace bowler comes in front of you, when you go there without a helmet and when you chew your gum and you give him that stare, you know that there is a guy who's standing in front of you who doesn't have fear of you." And he said, "That works." He says, "But inside I'm scared. I'm really scared of being knocked off, my head being knocked off." But just showing that you're not fear actually helps in handling that situation quite well.
Showing your fear that you don't fear it. You know, this may look like pretension, but you know, I have heard Swami mention in a discourse that it starts like that. You pretend to be good. You pretend to be fearless. Then you'll tend to be fearless and you'll end up being fearless too. So this pretend, tend, end kind of cycle always works because you become what you do. Your habits determine what you are. So you do something repeatedly, even though it is in pretension, it ends. You tend to be that and you end up being that. So it's definitely a successful formula. At the same time, yes, you were saying something?
Yeah.
At the same time, the other lesson, you know, I again go back to my driving school. The other lesson that I derived from that is to have somebody by the side who knows, whom you have faith that he or she knows everything. That is another way to remove fear. And I feel that is where Swami comes in our lives. If we are implicit in our faith that Swami knows everything, there is nothing like an unknown for Swami, then most of our fears, which are nothing but fears of the unknown, that is disease, darkness, death, whatever, fear of the unknown, all that will be gone in a trice because we have Swami by our side who knows everything. But the problem comes when we profess to have faith in Swami when we actually don't have faith.
Very true, because I remember even when I was in hostel, I used to always wonder, what is this faith? You talk so much about faith. An answer which would often come back to me is, faith can be nothing but fearlessness. You know, when you know that nothing can go wrong, there's absolutely nothing which can go wrong, that is nothing but faith. You know, it is so, if you really want to test your faith, it is how fearless are you? How many situations are there in which you can be fearless? You know, how many uncertainties in life you can face without being fearless? And that is when you know that, okay, I have that much faith in Swami. So, you know, putting one and one together, to be fearless, you need to have more faith. You need to develop that more faith. And as you said, you don't know, but you know somebody who knows. I mean, you're not sure, but you know somebody who is very sure.
And a parameter for how strong our faith is shows in how fearless we are. You know, there's that famous story of a man hanging from a cliff. Many places it has been reported as a true story. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it is definitely a very, very powerful story. The story goes that he is hanging from a twig and it's completely dark. You know, it's completely dark. He can't see around. He can't see how deep.
Right. He basically slips into a crevice.
Into a crevice in the ground, and he just holds on to some roots.
Right.
And at that time, you know, he's not able to see anything else. He just knows that he's holding on to a root. And he's screaming out for help. And at that time, you know, it says that he hears an ethereal voice. Mm-hmm. He says, "Lord, is that you?" He says, "Yes." And so he says, "Can you help me?" The Lord says, "Yes, I will help you. All you have to do is just let go of that root that you are hanging to." Then the man thinks, I mean, God, are you crazy? This is the only thing that my life is being held on to. You know, it is supporting my life and you want me to let go of this root. No way I'm going to let go of this root. Okay, so the Lord once again, you know, the voice says that, just let go of the root and let me take care. He says, no, he holds on. And you know, throughout the night, fatigue overcomes. And it is said that he dies hanging in midair. And the next day, when there is light, everybody can see that he was hanging just 1 foot above the ground. If only he had just let go of the root, he would have landed on the ground. It was just 1 foot above. You know, it goes to show how, you know, faith is so important in overcoming fear. Faith, once we have faith in God, you definitely, you know, will be fearless because you just have to do what the Lord says. Automatically everything will, the problem is we wonder, okay, Swami says this, but how is this going to help me? How is this going to solve the problem? We want to see how. I mean, it's like I'm hanging by the root and I'm wondering, okay, Swami is telling me to let go of the root. How, if I let go of the root, how can I be saved? I'm going to crash down and die, right? Swami, I mean, we feel that God has a perfect plan for everybody else except for me.
What is the next option? I can't let go anything else. You know, we are in that, exactly as you said,
That's another variant of the joke, by the way, you know. It says that a man, again, hanging by the root is there like that, and he says, "Anybody up there?" He says, "Yes, God." "Wow, God, can you help me?" God says, "Let go of the root." He says, "Go to hell." "Anybody else up there?" He shouts. No?
Right, exactly. You know, that is the, and the other thing is, the extension of that very story is, they say, had that man let go, you know, even if he did not have the faith, had he said, "Okay, let me try it out, I don't have any other option. No, there's nothing else I can do. Either I hang here and die in the cold, or hang here whole night and die in the cold, or let go and see what happens." So even if he had that curious nature, that would have led to him having faith, right? Because when we come to Swami, when we are new to Swami, Swami often creates situations in our life which we are scared of, we are uncertain of, and then he creates a miracle. When you look at it, it is just for us to get used to Swami, I mean, we having faith in Swami. You know, Swami throws situations at us and says that it's nothing for me to solve it. So that it's a means of developing faith in Swami.
Exactly. And the cliff that we speak about can be an emotional cliff. It can be a psychological precipice. Any of these are actually not things that crush us, but these are things that help us face and overcome with faith in Swami. It is only a matter of knowing what it is, and for knowing what it is, we definitely need to take this leap of faith. And I think that is what Swami also conveys so beautifully and so powerfully, and he conveys it with so many ramifications in that discourse clip.
Right. In this, I think Swami speaks about that very famous analogy in Vedanta where you mistake a rope for a snake, and then, you know, even before realizing whether is it a snake or is it a rope, you give way to so many emotions. The predominant among them is fear. And, you know, as somebody was telling, that you look at that rope, you think it's a snake, then you get scared, then you get scared of your life, then you think, what will happen to my family and children if I'm dead? Oh, will this insurance cover it up? All these thoughts based on something which is not existent.
And as you said, this is that half knowledge kind of thing, you know.
Right.
If you hear, ignorance would have been bliss even if you had not known that a rope is existing.
Right.
But you need complete knowledge, and it's only complete knowledge that can help you overcome fear. But complete knowledge comes only with faith in God. Just for the sake of our listeners who would be interested, this is taken from the Shivaratri 2001 discourse. This clip has been taken from the 2001 Shivaratri discourse.
Why anti-EMTE? What is this illusion? How does it come? Maya. The mistaken identity. That
Maya mistake
illusion as such is not
separate.
And one evening you are passing by. You find a rope on the way.
తక్షణమే నీకు భయం వేసింది.
యు ఆర్ అఫ్రైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్.
ఇది ఏదో పాము 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 అనుకుంటున్నావు.
యు థింక్ ఇట్స్ ఎ స్నేక్.
ఈ భయం ఎక్కడి నుంచి వచ్చింది?
వేర్ ఫ్రమ్ యు హావ్ డెవలప్డ్ దిస్ ఫియర్?
రాడును చూసి పాము అనుకోవటమే భయము.
ఇట్స్ ఎ ఫాల్స్ ఐడెంటిటీ దట్ టేక్ యు ఫియర్.
పక్క వ్యక్తి నుంచి థాట్ తీసుకుని వేశావు.
దెన్ యు హావ్ స్విచ్డ్ ఆన్ యువర్ థాట్.
అది త్రాడు త్రాడే పాము కాదు.
ఇట్ ఇస్ జస్ట్ ఎ రోప్ బట్ నాట్ ఎ స్నేక్.
పాము కాదు ఇది త్రాడు అని తెలుసుకున్న తర్వాత నీకు భయం పోయింది.
When once you are sure that the rope and not a snake,
చూసినటువంటిది త్రాడే.
Earlier it was a rope.
త్రాడు చూసుకుని పాము అనుకున్నది త్రాడే.
The mistaken identity.
ఇప్పుడు లైట్ వేసి త్రాడు చూసి పాము అనుకున్నది తానే.
In the light you have known the truth.
పాము కాదు ఇది త్రాడు అనుకున్నది తానే.
And in fact you have known the
Maya.
You only experience all this.
కేవలం ఒకదానే చూచి ఒకటిగా భావించుకోవటమే మాయా.
The false identification is delusion.
నువ్వు సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించినప్పుడు ఈ మాయ నీకేమడ్డు రాదు.
When once you know the truth, you will not be deluded.
కనుకనే ప్రపంచ విషయంలో మనం పదమును అనేకంగా ఉపయోగపెట్టుకుని
in the worldly sense we use many words.
ఈ పద ప్రభావము చేతనే మన స్వభావాన్ని మర్చిపోతున్నాం.
And we use this words, vocabulary,
and particular nature.
The influence of the worldly objects are much more.
స్వభావం కనిపించకపోవటం లేదు.
But swabhava, the nature.
స్వభావాన్ని తెలుసుకుంటే ఎట్టి భయము ఎట్టి భ్రాంతి లేదు.
When once you know the true nature, identity, there's no fear.
నీ ఒక్కడే సర్వస్వరూపుడు.
In fact, you are the one manifested into many.
ఇంకొకరు ఉంటే కదా నీకు భయం ఏర్పడేది.
You are one without the second, then where's the need for fear?
That is Swami's discourse. Of course, we are talking about a very mundane thing of knowing half knowledge and full knowledge. But Swami is talking about the ultimate knowledge.
Exactly.
Swami is saying the moment you know that you are that Sarveshwara, you are the one who is pervading this entire cosmos, then where is the question of the second coming and troubling you?
Swami says that when you have a mistaken identity, that is when fear arises. That is another very, very important statement. I think we should underline it and underscore it in our hearts. Swami says, mistaken identity leads to fear. When you mistake a rope for a snake, you get fear. And so also Swami says that fear that you have in life today is because of your mistaken identity. You consider yourself to be the body. You consider yourself to be the mind. You consider this thing as my family, this is not a problem. Therefore, we have fears. I have fear that what happens if something happens to my family. Swami says, when you realize that you are everything, you know, Swami, that is the Advaita, that is, when you realize your oneness with the entire universe, what is there to fear? Whom do you fear from? What is fear? There's nothing else other than you. There's nothing else other than you, meaning there's no fear also. I remember during that famous because I have quoted it so many times, that's why I feel it is like famous. But anyway, when Swami met all of us, you know, Sai Sanidhi members, students working in various institutions in the bhajan hall,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is when Swami spoke of the greatest Advaitic truth and, you know, the example of the dog in the hall of mirrors.
Right.
We have used it in so many satsangs. During that time, I remember somebody asked, you know, Swami, will this work during times of happiness as well as during times of sorrow?
Okay.
Will it work equally for a brahmachari as well as for a grihastha?
Mm-hmm.
Grihastha meaning a married person.
Okay.
Because it was as if like he's asking, Swami, this is all fine for a spiritual aspirant, but what about a person who is... You know, Swami almost like laughed it away. Swami said, there is no sorrow, there is no joy. You are sorrow, you are joy. There is no fear. I mean, Swami was saying that there is nothing else other than you. How can you talk about a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, or a brahmachari, or fear, or... There is nothing else. You are one without a second. There is only you. So it is not as if you experience joy and you experience sorrow. You experience yourself and you experience yourself, because sorrow is you, joy is you, everything is you. You know, so the ultimate, Swami gives the ultimate panacea for overcoming fear, which is knowing our true identity. And that is why, you know, Swami used to often say, don't try to find out who others are. Don't try to find out who I am. Find out who you are. You find out who am I. Who am I? Answer this question and this will solve every problem. Isn't it amazing, Prem, that somehow any topic we take up, the ultimate solution comes to us realizing our oneness with Swami and our true identity.
Absolutely. In fact, if you look at it, Vedanta says, eventually, you know, after giving all the parts of everything, it says the most important tool is vichara. And the most important thing is to inquire.
Mm.
It says take anything. Take any situation or any problem you're having or any path you've taken, be it bhakti or you have a god, you have a deity whom you're worshipping. He says take to anything with this tool of vichara. You know, don't take it at face value. Don't take it externally. Go deep, go deep, go deep.
Because, very scientific.
Right. Because it is like, you know, if you want to go to the core of the earth, it does not necessarily need that you have to dig only from America or Russia. You dig from any point on the earth. Only thing you have to do is keep digging and keep going straight.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go to the core of the earth. And that is what happens when you inquire and go into the heart of the matter. So I think that's why whatever topic you take and whatever topic we discuss, we end up and the completion only is in Advaita.
So, dear listeners, I think the comprehensive and most complete answer to how we can overcome all our fears is very clear. That is, we have to realize our true identity. Find out who am I. Realize our oneness with Swami. Be able to see God in all and everything. That is the ultimate solution. So, that, I think, again, we can underline and keep it as the ultimate solution. And now, whatever we discuss are ways to, you know, move closer towards that ultimate goal. So, one of them is, that is having faith in Swami. You know, let go of our fears by letting God into our lives. We are often thinking that we are letting God into our lives, but we actually don't let God in our lives because we want to be in control of our lives. And that is one reason why we continue to have our fears. How I wish we could be like Sachidanandam sir in his faith in Swami.
This was narrated by one of my friends, one of our colleagues in Rishai. He heard this from the All India President. He was narrating how once he was traveling in the car with this person.
The All India President of the Satsai organizations.
Right. So these two people traveling in the car one day in Kodaikanal in one of the ghat roads. And this person, Mr. Sachidanandam, he is a very elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
His sight is so bad that he cannot look at you if you're 10 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And his hearing is so bad. Mm-hmm. And a number of times Swami used to use this to make fun of him and have a little bit of mirth in Kodaikanal. But eventually Swami would always refer to how his faith and his surrender to Swami. So on this day when they were driving the car and going on this ghat road, and it was twilight, it was not as bright as, you know, it's comfortably even for a good driver. And this person asked Sachidanandam, he said, "Sir, you're driving like this, can you see? Are you able to see the road properly?" And he said, "No, I cannot see. Even now I cannot see the road." And you know, imagine, it's a ghat road, this person is traveling with him. He said, "Sir, if you cannot see the road, how are you driving? You know, how is it possible to, you know, drive the car?" And he said, "But I am not driving the car. I am just holding the steering wheel. The person who is driving the car is Swami." And he said, "Sir, it's a nice philosophy and I know we all have to think like that, but you need to see the road, you are driving the car." And he said, "I am not driving the car and I completely believe it. You do not believe it? See?" And he just left the steering. And for the next few minutes, they actually saw this car going and turning on its own, turning to the right, turning to the left, speeding where it could go fast and slowing down. And that's when he realized that for this person that surrender was not a concept, surrender was not a theory. He actually was living that. And I think it's the other thing, you know, as you said, the Advaita is the ultimate, to think that I am God, so I have no fear, because God is fearless. If we are not able to reach that state, to understand that I am with God, you know, I am, God is with me and I belong to God, even that can give you that ultimate fearlessness.
The problem is, Prem, that we tend to get very, very cynical. You know, forget about we experiencing the same. I'm sure that even after hearing this episode, at least I think that's great, it happened to Mr. Sachidanandam, it's never going to happen to me.
Never I will do that.
I am having complete faith that Swami will not come to me like that. When the problem is, we are not ready to take that leap of faith, that stepping into the unknown, letting go of the root, turning around to face the monkey. We just do not seem to gather enough courage to face our fear, because we somehow feel that we'll be let down, and that is where, you know, faith comes into question. We need to have faith. Faith is so, so important. And, you know, coupled with that faith, Swami says, you also need self-confidence. Self-confidence that I will do it. I can do it. You know, it is because of the self-confidence that you get the courage. And it is because of your faith that you are able to persevere in your courage. Self-confidence is what gives that initial courage and bravery. And it is faith that allows you to persevere in your courage. And I remember one beautiful story of a little bird that Swami narrated to my classmates when they were in 8th standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I joined only in 11th, so I heard it from them. And they narrated that when Swami called them for an interview, he said, he started talking to them about one little bird. And he said that this little bird, you know, he built up how cute it was, how sweet it was, how wonderful it was, how twittering and how happy it was, and how it flew onto one big tree and sat on a branch there. And then, you know, Swami said that a huge storm came. Because of the storm, the whole tree began to shake, the branches began to quiver and quake. And finally, the tree got uprooted and came crashing down. The branch was smashed to smithereens. And then Swami said, "What happened to the little bird?" You know, suddenly all of my classmates, they were all like surprised, and they were wondering, "Yes, what happened to the little bird? What happened to the little bird?" So finally they said, "Swami, what happened to the little bird?" Swami said, "Nothing happened to the little bird, because it just flew away." Swami said, "It flew away because it had its wings and it didn't depend on the branch of the tree for its safety." And then Swami continued to say that those wings are the wings of self-confidence and faith. You need to have confidence in yourself, that is self-confidence, and faith in God. When you are depending on these two wings, you need not depend on the world of which you think you are a part of. You know, no longer we need to depend on the branch that the world is. We can depend on our wings of self-confidence and faith. So definitely, taking us a few steps closer to the ultimate goal of realizing our oneness with Swami is to have faith in Swami and self-confidence, as Swami says.
I'm reminded of one thing one of my classmates shared when he gave a speech in front of Swami. You know, when he was standing there and speaking, he said, as we pointed out, you know, the fear of public speaking is one of the, you know, features quite high in most of the lists. Because it is that you're standing and facing a huge gathering of eager people peering at you. You know, that's really quite scary.
Unnerving. In fact, somebody has said, statistics show that fear of public speaking is much, much higher compared to fear of death.
Okay.
So, somebody, says that people would rather prefer to be buried in a coffin rather than give a eulogy.
And, he started his speech by saying this, when I stand here and see this sea of crowd in front of me, thousands of people, it really scares me. But when I look to my side, and those days, that Swami would be sitting there, and beside Swami would be the podium.
Mm.
And when I look to the side, I know that I might be facing 1,000 people, but who is facing with me is Swami. Because Swami would also be in the same orientation as you would be facing. So though you might be facing 1,000 people, you are with Swami. And he said that actually removes all the fear, and I think I can speak now.
Exactly.
I think that is a very, very important thing, because as you said, self-confidence and the faith that you are with somebody, you belong to somebody, and you are not alone. That the confidence which that gives is tremendous.
In fact, Swami takes it one notch higher. He says it's not as if you are with somebody who is the ultimate. He says you are ultimate.
Right.
And that's why he addresses us as Prema Swarupa Lara. I remember Swami mentioning in a discourse on how because of man-made modifications, some of the shlokas from the eternal Vedic scriptures got twisted to give a wrong kind of meaning. Where it condemns man as you are a sinner, you are nothing, you need to be redeemed from your sins. Swami says, no, you are not sinner. You are a Prema Swarupulara. You are an embodiment of love. You are a Divyatma Swarupulara. You are an embodiment of the divine Atma. That is another way, Swami gives us abhaya or fearlessness by making us overcome this limitation of the body and mind that we put on ourselves and, consider ourselves as we are weak beings and therefore we need God's support. I think we needing God's support is a fantastic thing, but we need to do that because it takes us closer to us realizing our own identity of oneness with God, not because we are weak and mean creatures who need God's help. And this is something that is not what I am speaking. This is what Swami mentioned in a discourse that he delivered on the 28th of May 1992. Where he changed a shloka which goes as papoham papa karmaham. I would rather not dilate on it. Leave it to Swami to tell it in his own beautiful words. But this is another powerful discourse which again prods us towards discovering our true identity, realizing our true identity, and therefore overcoming fear.
Let us take a small example.
Konni shlokamulu inno arthalanta andistu untuntai.
Some shlokas convey various meanings.
Shariramadhyam khalu dharma sadakam.
One shloka is shariramadhyam khalu dharma sadakam.
Ee shariramu dharmacharana nimittamai yerpadinatvantidi ani deeni arthamu.
The meaning of it is the body is gifted to you to perform righteous acts.
Sarvam kalividam brahma.
The another verse is sarvam kalividam brahma.
Anaga yavat srishti antai kudanu brahmamayame.
It meant the entire universe is full of brahma.
Aham brahmasmi.
The next verse is aham brahmasmi.
Nenu divyamainatundi chaitanya swarupunni.
I am the very form of that divine awareness.
Ee vidhanga oka vaipuna shastra bodhisthu untundadi.
The shastra teaches on one hand like this.
Maroka vaipuna ఈ ఆచార బ్రాహ్మణుల ఇంట్లో పూజలన్నీ అయిన తర్వాత ఒక అనాచార సంబంధమైనటువంటి శ్లోకం కూడా ఒకటి కల్పించారు.
హౌవర్ ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ ఇన్ ది హౌస్ ఆఫ్ ఎ ట్రెడిషనల్ బ్రాహ్మిన్ హౌస్ ఆఫ్టర్ వర్షిప్ దేర్ ఇస్ అనదర్ మీనింగ్ ఆల్సో.
పాపోహం పాపకర్మాహం పాపాత్మ పాపసంభవ. పాపోహం పాపకర్మాహం పాపాత్మ పాపసంభవ. ఓ భగవంతుడా, నేను పాపిని, నేను చేసిన కర్మాలంతా పాపమే, నా ఆత్మ పాపమే, నేనే కాదు నా తల్లిదండ్రులంతా పాపమే.
So after worshipping that old traditional Brahmin house, he begins to say that I am a sinner.
Asabhyanga untuntado meeru yochinchandi.
Acts are sins, parents are sinners. What kind of?
Ee vidhamainatundi asabhyamainatundi kalpinchatamlo undinatundi antaratham emiti?
What is the significance in having these artificial things?
Prajalanu kevalam amayakamainatundi prajalanu mosapucchi.
Only deceiving ignorant people.
వారి ఏదో ఒక కర్మలకు బద్దులైనారని చెప్పి బోధించి
టీచింగ్ ద
కర్మ పరిహార నిమిత్తమే ధనమును చెల్లించుకునే నిమిత్తం ఇలాంటి శ్లోకాలు ప్రారంభించారు.
Only to receive money by telling them that they can be free from this karmic effect, these things are done.
కాదు కాదు, సర్వము బ్రహ్మ నుండి ఆవిర్భవించినదని శాస్త్రం బోధిస్తుంటే,
when Shastra teaches that everything originated
Ishvara sarvabhutanam ani upanishattulu bodhisthunte,
when Upanishads teach Ishvara sarvabhutanam
Ishavasyam idam sarvam ani upanishattulu cheptunte,
when Upanishads declare Ishavasyam idam
sarvam, ee papoham papakarmaham ekkada nunchi vachindi?
What is the fun of saying I am sinner?
Idi kevalamu ilanti kalpitalanta akkadunu srushtinchi,
these things are merely created,
deeni valla manavulanu bayapetti,
man is frightened,
bhramimpachesi,
he is put illusion,
unna vishwasam kuda nu poorthi oodipoyetattu cheskunnaru,
they were put such a state that they lost the existing faith also.
Ilanti vanni kuda nu ee naati aadhunika vidyarthulu cheppu vinatam chetane aa vidyarthulaku vishwasam lekapothundadi,
because modern students listen to such perverse interpretations, they lost faith.
Kanukane nenu prashanthi nimlo kuda nu ee oka shlokanni marpinchanu.
Therefore Swami changed that shloka in Prashanti Nilayam.
Pujari kuda nu cheppetunte vaadu intaku purum,
that priest also in Prashanti Nilayam used to repeat,
papoham anetundi teesivesi praptoham praptakarmaham praptaham praptam sambhavami praptoham, idantha na prapti, nenu inta uttamudiga janminchanu, nenu inta pavitruniga janminchanu, na talidarulu inta pavitrulu, na aatma pavitramainatundi, నా కర్మ పవిత్రమైనది అనేటువంటి దీనిగా మార్చివేశారు.
స్వామి చేంజ్ ఇట్, ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్ ఐ యామ్ ఎ సిన్నర్ ఐ యామ్ ఎ డిజర్వ్డ్ వన్, ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్ మై పేరెంట్స్ ఆర్ సిన్నర్స్, నో నో నో, మై పేరెంట్స్ ఆర్ నోబుల్ వన్.
చేసే ప్రక్రియలను బట్టి పాపము పుణ్యమని చెప్పుకుంటున్నారే కాని ఇందులో పాప పుణ్యములు ఏమాత్రము లేవు.
బేసింగ్ ఆన్ అవర్ యాక్షన్స్ వీ సే వన్ ఇస్ వర్చ్యూ, అదర్ ఇస్ ఎ సిన్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దేర్ ఆర్ నన్.
దోషములోని ఉన్నాయి కాని పాపము అని పేరు పెట్టకూడదు.
హౌఎవర్ దేర్ ఆర్ డిఫెక్ట్స్, యూ కాంట్ కాల్ ఇట్ ఎ సిన్.
You know how really strong that those words were, and coming to think of it, you know, every I think Swami changed that way of even addressing a spiritual gathering. Swami would say, as you said, prema swarupalara vidya divyatma swarupalara, to address the purest form of you. It's not to treat you as a person who is carrying sins and mistakes and wrong acts. You know, talking of public speaking, what we were talking before this, the fear of public speaking and all this, I remember an incident one of our seniors, Abhimanyu, called. He was sharing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was one particular year when Swami came and said, whoever speaks in the foyer, you know, we used to have those foyer talks, right?
In the institute.
Right, a few minutes talk before the aarti is offered and the classes commence.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have about 3 speakers a week. So one particular day Swami came and said that, you know, whoever speaks in the foyer in this month, I will give them a chance to speak in front of me in Purnachandra during Dashara.
Wow.
So understandably there was a huge line there, everybody enrolling to speak there. And then Swami said, I will go through the names, I will see who all are good speakers. From there, I will pick the 9 or 10 best speakers and have them speak for Dashara. So the month was going on, there were speakers who were speaking in the foyer. So one day Swami came up to this brother Abhimanyu and said, aren't you speaking in the foyer? Aren't you speaking in the college? He said, no Swami, I'm not a speaker. Because you know, he came from North India and he was not very comfortable with English. He could speak in Hindi, but he was not very comfortable with English then. So he said, Swami, I've never given speeches and I'm not a speaker. And Swami told him, I am telling that I will give you the chance of speaking in front of me. Still you don't want to try? So he felt so guilty, and it also happened to be the last week. You know, there are only 3 speakers left and with a few tents waiting to get a chance. So he went up to the teacher who was coordinating the event and he said, sir, I think I have to give a speech this month. He said, what do you mean? There's no way you can give a speech and there is nobody there. And he explained that Swami asked me this, sir, so I somehow have to give a speech. I have to be in that list. Otherwise it would not be nice because Swami himself has asked me. So he said, see, there's no way because the slots are fixed. And luckily for him, one of the speakers who was supposed to speak in the next 3 days fell sick.
Oh.
And it was just the day before. So somehow he got to speak, and somehow he spoke. It was definitely not the best speaker, one of the best speakers in that month. The list went to Swami, and Swami picked him as one of the speakers for Dashara.
Okay.
So that was his first speech. And can you believe it, Arvind, you know, for the next 1.5-2 months, Swami would call these boys, these 9 boys who were selected, and sit for 30-45 minutes, training them how to speak.
Wow.
And Swami would choose the content for them, train them, made them speak so many times in front of him. And of course, 10 minutes were for their speech preparation. The next 30 minutes was to have fun with Swami. And then that went on for 1 month, and everybody was jealous of these boys who were getting this chance. But every now and then Swami would say, I'm very confident about all of you. All of you will speak well. And pointing to Abhimanyu Kohli, he said, I'm scared of this guy only. Because he's the one who's least confident.
Weak link.
Right? Because he was still very tensed. You know, he's never spoken in English in front of a gathering like that. And Purnachandra Auditorium looks even more imposing. You know, at least Kulwant Hall is spread. But, you know, it's in Purnachandra Auditorium, it feels like there's a huge depth of a crowd there.
Mm.
So on that particular day, the day before his speech, Swami called him and he said, see, if you get scared when you're speaking, I will get up and go away.
Mm.
I will not listen to your talk. Okay, so he got all the more tensed, and the whole night he went on repeating whatever he had prepared, and he was all ready. So on that day when he was supposed to speak, he came onto the stage and he looked at the crowd, and his speech was in such a way that he would start with a Hindi couplet. Now, he was very good at writing Hindi poetry. So he would start with a Hindi couplet. And even as he was chanting, reciting that poetry, he was thinking that here is a crowd of local Rayalaseema people. I don't know what they will understand of my Hindi poetry. And he, with the corner of his eyes, he saw Swami. And he could see that Swami was sitting at the tip of his chair.
Oh, ready to get up
ready
and
to get up and go. Okay. Either Swami was ready to get up and go, or Swami himself was showing that he was tensed whether this fellow will deliver his speech properly. So he saw Swami from the corner of his eyes. He saw Swami sitting at the tip of his chair. And he looked at the crowd, and then he recited this poetry. At the end of the poem, there was a thunderous applause. Okay, thunderous applause, and he was surprised. He said, what did they understand of this poetry? And then with the corner of his eyes, he looked at Swami. And Swami said, he started well, so he'll do well. So Swami sat back. You know, Swami relaxed himself and sat back on his throne. The moment he saw that, he saw Swami's feet moving. He thought Swami is getting up to go. So the next moment, he just closed his eyes and he, you know, rattled out his entire speech, because he said, if I even pause for a moment, Swami might get up and go. So he said that fear of having Swami walk out of his speech made him deliver that speech. And needless to say, today he's actually a trainer in corporate
speaking.
Yeah, corporate. And he trains people in public speaking. You know, that's what the fear of actually losing what the love of Swami, the love of God, can actually help you overcome all your other fears.
This is what Swami has said, you know. Swami has said that the greatest fear man can have is the fear of losing God's love. It is so perfectly brought out in this episode. And it also shows that you can use, like how we use a pin to take out, how we use make use of a thorn to take out a thorn that has pricked
right.
our foot. In the same way, we can make use of a fear to overcome a fear, you know, the fear of losing God. You know, it says, let go and let God. It is, if we are not ready to let go, we can't let God into our lives. So it's a choice between something else and God. I would rather choose God. And it is such a powerful motivator that whatever happens, I should not lose my Lord. The fear of God. Fear of losing God, sorry. Because, you know, Swami says, I don't want people to be God-fearing. You should not fear God. You should fear losing God. You should be God-loving and sin-fearing. Fear the sin. Fear, don't get scared of God, but be scared of losing God.
Of displeasing Him.
Displeasing Him. And that's why Swami says, Daiva Preeti papabhiti sanganiti. Sanganiti meaning morality in society. If you want to bring about morality in society, you need to have papabhiti, which is fear of sin. And if you need to have fear of sin, Swami says you need daiva priti, that is love for God. Once you have daiva priti, other things automatically fall in place. You know, this is such a beautiful theme, because I remember when Dr. Srikant Chola was speaking about the four F's.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the master, face the devil, fight till the end, finish the game. He said, don't take these as four commandments. You just do the first one, that is follow the master. The other three automatically get done. You automatically will face the devil. You automatically will fight till the end. You will automatically finish the game. All you have to do is follow the master. In the same way, all we have to have, the only fear that we can have, that we should have, is the fear of losing God's love and the fear of losing God in our lives. I think if we have this one fear, all other fears get banished automatically. And this is another beautiful way of overcoming our fears. By, you know, sublimating it with the greatest fear. The greatest fear being fear of losing God's love.
You know, just talking about the fear of losing God's love. I'm reminded of what Shailesh sir had once said, you know. You have these board exams, the 12th board exams.
Mm-hmm.
And the government mandates it that, unlike other exams which you have throughout the year, for the board exams, you have external examiners. You have examiners coming from other schools.
Hmm.
So being Puttaparthi, you don't have any reputed schools around. You would have teachers coming from cities and other towns. And for most of them, this would be the first time they're coming to Puttaparthi. They're coming and seeing a setup like this. So there was this one particular examiner who came from outside. He was not very sure of how you can actually have a school of students being really adhering to morality. You know, he never subscribe to that thought. So he came here, he was very strictly going around, and he found that our students were writing the 12th board here. None of them were even interested in what the other person is writing, or, you know, didn't even show that restlessness to, you know, hint to the other person, to look at the other person,
or
to copy, or to indulge in any kind of malpractice. So he was really surprised, because he had to do nothing over there, being an invigilator. So he came up to one of the boys, and he said, you know, all boys here, I mean, they're just writing the exam. He was so surprised about that.
No malpractice going on.
And he said, all of you must be very God-fearing. Okay, and immediately one of the boys who were writing the exam looked up to him and said, no, sir, you're wrong. He said, we're all God-loving. And that is why we are not indulging in any malpractice.
Beautiful. I mean, be God-loving, not God-fearing. Daiva Preeti. You know, This thing that the great replacing all your fears with the greatest fear, that is, as Swami says, the greatest fear man can have is the fear of losing God's love, can also be interpreted in the other way, you know. One more cause for fear, it's just a corollary of the same, is our own desires, our own wishes on how we want things to go in life. The thing about this topic, Prem, is that it's all so interspersed. All the points, all the different causes, they are all interlinked to each other.
Right.
And of course, the ultimate solution is realizing our oneness with God. But if we take, if we try to separate it, you know, we have fear because it's unknown. We have fear of rejection. We have fear of failure. And another thing is we have fear because we have desire. When we desire for something, we are so attached to it, and because of that attachment, we develop fear because it may go in a way that we don't want
it
to,
right.
We don't expect it to. And again, that is where our faith in God has to come in, you know, where we feel that no matter what happens, I am sure, I am confident that Swami has planned the best for me in my life. So why should I fear this? Why should I have this desire? And the solution there is to seek that desire. I think when we spoke about sealing on desires, this point came up. Seek that desire, seeking which you'll never have to seek again. The ultimate desire, and that is God. Because Swami says, happiness is union with God. The greatest fear is the fear of losing God's love. What else? Both these statements are actually the same thing, speaking of the same thing in two different perspectives.
Exactly.
So, when we get our desires, let us sublimate our desires by replacing them with a higher desire. And among all this, the highest desire can be and the only, I mean, it can only possibly be the desire to be one with God. Once we sublimate all our desires to the highest desires, once we sublimate all our fears with the greatest fear, that of losing Swami's love, I think Abhaya becomes our birthright. And dear listeners, that is exactly what Swami speaks in great detail in this discourse clip on when Swami speaks about sublimating a lesser desire with a higher desire.
Right. I think it's a long clip, about 8 minutes. We'll leave you with this.
Okay. Okay.
Right. We can wind up with this clip, because in this clip Swami narrates, you know, how takes an example from the Ramayana and explains how you can actually overcome this clip. overcome one fear by actually putting a more sublime fear, a fear which is worth having, worth cultivating. And you know, talking of you saying, you were saying that the ultimate desire of being one with God. Even the fear of what if I am not becoming one with God is removed by Swami by saying that it is your birthright. You know, eventually you will be led there, you will reach there. So I think we should leave our listeners with this clip.
Yeah.
So dear listeners, we'll leave you with this clip from a discourse which Swami delivered. And in that same discourse which we played a while ago, which was 1992,
the 28th of May, and this is going to be a 7 to 8 minute long clip, so we offer this whole segment at the lotus feet of our Swami, and we do sit at his lotus feet along with all of you listening to this clip, the other side of which you will be joined by Brother Chandu with his segment Love to Love.
Sarva chintalu kudanu anaga oka chinna chintalu manam pogottukovalante deeniki emi manam sadhan cheyali.
If you are to be free from a small worry, what is it that you should do?
Vidyarthulara, chakkaga ee vishayanni meeru gurtinchali.
Students, you should realize this clearly.
Oka dani paina manam ekkuga mohanga untam.
You will be having too much of attachment on a thing.
Aa mohanni manam tappinchukovalante emi cheyali?
What is it that you should do to be away from attachment?
Danikante unnatamainatvanti danini, danikante adhikamainatvanti danini, danikante andamainatvanti danini, danikante pavitramainatvanti danini manamu చిక్కించుకున్నప్పుడు ఈ మోహం ఈ చిన్న దానిపైన తప్పిపోతుంది.
When once you capture something nobler, more sacred, more exalted, then you lose attachment towards a smaller one.
ఇది రామాయణంలో చక్కని ఆదర్శం.
This is an ideal in Ramayana.
భరతుడు శత్రుఘ్నుడు కైకేయ రాజ్యం నుంచి వచ్చారు.
భరత శత్రుఘ్న కేమ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ కైకేయ రాజ్య.
కానీ వచ్చినప్పుడు తండ్రి మరణించాడు అని తెలిసింది.
ఆన్ దే రిటర్న్ దే కేమ్ టు నో దట్ ఫాదర్ డైడ్.
చాలా దుఃఖించాడు భరత శత్రుఘ్నుడు.
దే వర్ గ్రీఫ్ స్ట్రికెన్.
ఈ అంత సమయం లోపల రామ లక్ష్మణుకున్నటువంటి ప్రాప్తి కూడా మాకు లేకపోయినే.
టువర్డ్స్ ది ఎండ్ అట్లీస్ట్ రామ లక్ష్మణ కుడ్ బి దేర్ బట్ వీ కుడ్
నాట్. తండ్రికి నలుగురు కుమారులు పుట్టినప్పుడు ఇద్దరికి ఒక ప్రాప్తి మరి ఇద్దరికి ఒక్కొక్క ప్రాప్తియా.
వెన్ ఫాదర్ హ్యాస్ ఫోర్ సన్స్ టూ డిజర్వ్డ్
అందులో కణములు మాత్రమే మాకు వ్యత్యాసం కానీ ఎక్కువ నెలలు దినములు కాదు.
జస్ట్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ డిఫరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మూమెంట్స్ ఎట్ ది టైమ్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ బర్త్.
చాలా పరితపిస్తూ ఉన్నాడు, ఇంకా విషయం తెలుసుకోలేదు.
దే స్టార్టెడ్ రిపెంటింగ్ ఎ లాట్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దే హావ్ నాట్ నోన్ ద ట్రూత్.
కౌసల్య దగ్గరికి పరిగెత్తిపోయారు.
దే వెంట్ టు కౌసల్య రన్నింగ్.
అమ్మా మాకు ఏమిటి ఈ దుర్గతి.
దే సెడ్ మదర్ వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ ప్లైట్.
తండ్రి ఏమి చెప్పాలని అనుకున్నాడో మాకు.
What is that father wanted to convey?
ఏంటి ఆదేశం చేయాలనుకున్నాడో ఏమిటో.
What kind of command he wanted to give?
ఆ సమయంలో మేము లేకపోయాము.
We could not be there at that.
కానీ మా విషయం ఏమైనా అన్నలైనటువంటి యొక్క రామలక్ష్మణులకి ఏమైనా చెప్పారా?
But anything relating to us, are they conveyed to Rama and Lakshmana brother?
అనేటప్పటికీ కౌసల్య గొల్లును ఏడ్చింది.
When they said so, Kausalya started crying.
నలుగురికి కూడా ఒకే ప్రాప్తి వచ్చింది.
There also she had got that type of desire.
ఈ తండ్రి మరణ సమయమునందు ఒక్క కుమారుడైనా దగ్గర లేదు.
At the time of death of the father, none were there.
ఏమిటి అన్నలు ఎక్కడికి వెళ్లారు?
Then they started asking, where are brothers?
అరణ్యానికి వెళ్లారు నాయన.
They went into the forest.
ఎన్ని దినములు అయింది?
When did they go?
కేవలం 11 దినములు మాత్రమే అయింది.
They went there, 11 days passed.
ఇంకా రాలేదా?
Have they not returned?
ఇప్పుడు రారు నాయన, ఇంకా 14 సంవత్సరం వరకు రారు అని కౌసల్య చెప్పింది.
దే ఆర్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు రిటర్న్ నౌ. దే షుడ్ స్టే దేర్ ఫర్ 14 ఇయర్స్.
ఈ కథ అంతా విన్నాడు భరతుడు.
భరత లిసన్ టు ది ఎంటైర్ స్టోరీ.
మొట్టమొదట తండ్రియే నాకు ప్రాణ సమానం అని ఏడ్చినటువంటి ఈ భరతుడు.
భరత హూ క్రైడ్ టు ది ఫాదర్ ఇస్ వెరీ హిజ్ లైఫ్.
అన్నపైనటువంటి ప్రేమ చేత,
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఆఫ్ ది బ్రదర్,
ఆ తండ్రి కంటే అన్న పైన అమితమైనటువంటి ప్రేమ ఉండటం చేత
హీ హాడ్ హైయర్ లవ్
ఘటించిన దుఃఖం తగ్గిపోయింది. అన్న వియోగ దుఃఖం ఎక్కిపోయింది.
దట్ గ్రీఫ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద డెత్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫాదర్ హ్యాస్ కమ్ డౌన్ అండ్ ద సెపరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద బ్రదర్ హ్యాస్ గాన్ అప్. తండ్రి మీద
కోపం వచ్చింది.
హీ వాస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ యాంగర్.
కోపమే కాకుండా కోపం వచ్చింది.
హీ వాస్ వెరీ యాంగ్రీ.
దుర్మార్గుడా, నీవు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆశ చేత నా అన్నను ఇంత కష్టములు పెట్టివా?
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఎస్పిరేషన్ యూ కాజ్ దిస్ సెపరేషన్.
కనుక తండ్రి మరణ చింత తగ్గింది, అన్న వియోగ చింత హెచ్చింది.
Therefore the thought relating to the death of the father has come down and the thought relating to the separation from brother has gone up.
ఒక చిన్న దుఃఖము పెద్ద దుఃఖము చేత అణిగిపోతుంది.
A small grief would naturally will come down when you are to higher grief.
ఏ సుఖము పెద్ద సుఖము చేత అణిగిపోతుంది.
A small pleasure when compared to a larger pleasure.
అనంత భావం చేత అడిగిపోతుంది.
A mean desire because of the grief comes down.
స్వల్పము అల్పమైనటువంటి భావాలను మనము తప్పించుకోవాలంటే అధికమైనటువంటి ఉన్నతమైన భావాలను మనం హెచ్చుకోవాలి.
Therefore, in order to separate ourselves from this mean and narrow feelings, we should develop broad feelings.
ఈనాడు లోకములో అన్ని మనకు చింతలే.
Today in this world we are full of worry.
ఏమిటి ఆ చింతలు?
What are those worries?
పుట్టుట ఒక చింత.
Birth is one worry.
భూమి నుండుట చింత.
To live on earth is one worry.
సంసారం ఒక చింత.
Family life is a worry.
చావు చింత.
Death is worry.
బాల్యమంతయు చింత.
Boyhood is worry.
వార్ధక్యం ఒక చింత.
Old age is worry.
జీవించుట ఒక చింత.
Entire life sojourn is worry.
చింత.
All those that goes wrong against our wishes.
కర్మలన్నీయు చింత.
Everything is worry.
కష్టములు ఒక చింత.
Difficulties are worry.
సంతసం ఒక చింత.
Pleasure is worry.
వింత చింత.
Even the mysterious ones are worry.
సర్వ చింతల బాపెడి. ఈ సర్వ చింతల బాపెడి సర్వేశ ప్రేమ కొనుడు ఇకనైన ప్రజలార కోర్కె మీరా. సర్వ చింతలు బాపే సర్వేశ ప్రేమ.
At least so people cultivate the divine love so that you will be free from all these worries.
ఈ చింతలు కూడాను ఆ ఒక్క ప్రేమనే అణిగిపోతాయి.
That divine love will make you free from all these worries.
ఇన్ని చింతలతో మనం ఎందుకు కట్టుబడాలి?
Why should we bound by
ప్రేమను మనం పెంచుకోండి.
Develop that love.
సర్వ చింతలు పరిహారమైపోతాయి.
Then all worries are solved.
ఇంత కన్నను వేరెద్ది ఎరుగపరతు.
What more is to be conveyed?
సాధు సద్గుణగణ్యులవు విద్యార్థులారా.
మెంబర్స్
సాధు సద్గుణగణ్యులవు విద్యార్థులారా.
మెంబర్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పైస్ అసెంబ్లీ, ది స్టూడెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ వర్చ్యూ అండ్ క్యారెక్టర్.
విద్యార్థులారా,
స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఈ చింతలన్నీ కూడాను పాసింగ్ క్లౌడ్స్.
ఆల్ దీస్ థాట్స్ ఆర్ పాసింగ్ క్లౌడ్స్.
వీటి నిమిత్తమే మీరు చింత పడనక్కర్లేదు.
యూ షుడ్ నెవర్ బి వరీడ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ థాట్స్.
కానీ చింత చేయవలసింది ఒకటే.
బట్ దేర్ ఇస్ వన్ దట్ యూ షుడ్ థింక్
అబౌట్. చింతగా విచారం కాదు.
ఇస్ నాట్ వరీ ఐదర్.
చింతించటం.
థింకింగ్.
థింక్ చేయవలసినటువంటి ఏదో పిచ్చి పిచ్చివన్నీ థింక్ చేయకూడదు మనం.
వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ యూ షుడ్ థింక్? నాట్ మ్యాటింగ్.
ఈ పిచ్చిన అవసరంతా కూడా మనం చదివి దాన్ని థింక్ చేయకూడదు మనం.
యూ షుడ్ నాట్ థింక్ ఆల్ దోస్.
చూచిన దృష్టివన్నీ కూడా మనం థింక్ చేయకూడదు.
యూ షుడ్ నాట్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దట్ యూ సీ.
నీవు హృదయస్థాయి నేను 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 నేనే ప్రజ్ఞను నేనే ప్రజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ నేనే ప్రజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ అనేటువంటి ఒక తత్వాన్ని చింత చేయాలి.
యూ షుడ్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ థింక్ దట్ ఐఎమ్ ప్రజ్ఞ ఐఎమ్ ప్రజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ.
బ్రహ్మ విత్ బ్రహ్మైవ భవతి.
దేర్ఫోర్ బై నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది బ్రహ్మ
నీవు చింత చేస్తుంటావో ఆ రూపాన్ని నీవు ధరిస్తావు.
ద వన్ దట్ యూ థింక్ యూ బికమ్ దట్ ఫామ్.
విద్యార్థులారా,
స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఈ ప్రజ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ అయమాత్మ బ్రహ్మ అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి తత్ త్వం అసి ఈ నాలుగు మహావాక్యముల యొక్క తత్వం కూడాను ఈనాటి పండితులు చేసినటువంటి ప్రచారములకు దానిలో ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క అనంతమైనటువంటి యొక్క అగమ్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క అద్భుతమైనటువంటి యొక్క అర్థములకు ఎంతో వ్యత్యాసం ఉంటుండాలి.
ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫోర్ మహావాక్యాస్ ఈజ్ టాట్ అండ్ ప్రొపగేటెడ్ బై ది మోడర్న్ పండిట్స్ ఇన్ ఎ డిఫరెంట్ వే. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దేర్ నో
రహస్యాలంతా కూడా మీకు ఎందుకోసం బోధిస్తున్నానంటే
వై స్వామి టీచర్స్ ఆల్ ది సీక్రెట్స్ ఆఫ్
భారతదేశపు నాయకులు మీరే.
యు ఆర్ ది ఫ్యూచర్ లీడర్స్ ఆఫ్ భారత్.
కనుక ఈ సత్యాన్ని మీరు గుర్తించి ఉండినప్పుడు ఏనాడైనా ఒకనాటికి మీకు జ్ఞప్తికి వస్తాయి.
When you realize this truth, at least you remind yourself of these things on Monday.
కొంతమంది మనసైనప్పుడు ఈ పవిత్రమైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశపెడతాయి.
At least few will enter into this sacred path.